Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We want to talk about something perhaps very, very serious this evening. And some of you may recall that a couple of weeks ago I was gone for the weekend. I took Friday off, which I usually don't do, but I went to a meeting on civilian defense. It was in Southern California. It was a group that is one of the major civilian defense organizations in the United States. In fact, the only organization that I know that is dedicated to civilian defense. And I felt I wanted to go down and see what they were doing, see what the latest developments were in this time of uncertainty in America. We hear a lot about the potential for terrorist attacks, and although I think many of the terrorist attacks are manipulated, there's a growing anger and fury throughout the Islamic world against the United States, especially after they showed those pictures, and the government intentionally showed those pictures. This was not done by accident, it was calculated, and they showed the pictures of the abuse at the Abu Ghraib prison. What we have done in Iraq is almost unthinkable. We did everything wrong, and people in charge are not stupid. I mean, when you move into a country, why would you dissolve the police force so there's nobody to maintain law and order? Why would you do away with the army when you said we aren't going to do away with the army? Our only quarrel is with Saddam Hussein. Why, over a year after we declared peace or victory, isn't there electricity in many of the cities most of the time? Why are sewage and water facilities totally inadequate? How could you do such a poor job unintentionally unless you were trying to anger the people of Iraq, unless you were trying to anger the people of the Islamic world against America? And I fear there will be a blowback against what's happened over there. And the Islamic people, I fear, many of them have a different sense of the world, a different worldview. Christians want to live for our God. They want to die for their God. I mean, the Islamic people, if you will believe and embrace the radical Islamic faith, why, of course, you will be sure to go to heaven. In fact, the only way you're sure to go to heaven is to die killing the infidels. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I are infidels. What arrangements, what facilities, what planning is there at the national level in case of massive terrorist attacks on the United States? Because it would be very simple to launch a chemical or biological or nuclear attack from a ship just going by. You don't need intercontinental ballistic missiles, and we have no defense for such an event. But what about the plans for the civilian population? Well, when I went to this meeting, and you know, I expected it to be a good turnout, especially in these days of terror, in the morning, and with 8 speakers for the day, there were 15 people there. In the afternoon, about 25 people, including those 8 speakers. What was frightening to me was there were so few people who were concerned about what was happening, and they were the same people who have been concerned for a long time. Now, in Russia, you have to understand, they have extensive facilities to protect the population. And we're going to be offering very soon a disc set, I believe CDs or DVDs, we haven't determined yet, but put out by a good friend, Dr. Art Robinson, going into what's actually happening in Russia. And they have facilities for most of their population. They have water and food and medicines, and they have underground shelters in case of a nuclear or biological or chemical attack where people could live until such time as they would be safe for them to come out. The same thing is true, certainly to a far lesser extent in China, but they have underground subways in the major cities. They have plans. Everything is in place because they believe nuclear warfare or chemical or biological warfare is possible. In Switzerland, literally every house, every school, every major building has an underground shelter. And here in America, there is no defense for the American people because we've embraced this concept of mutual assured destruction. In other words, why you attack us and we'll attack you. But then in case of a terrorist attack, who would we attack? What we have done is replace this idea of mutual assured destruction with assured destruction. We have no anti-ballistic missile system. The one that the president is putting in is really a laugh. He's building 20 missiles, which probably won't work. And the reason they won't work is because we can't build the same sort of system we built back in the 1970s with a small nuclear warhead on the tip, the kind that the Russians have on all of their extensive anti-ballistic missiles to intercept incoming warheads. We just can't figure out how to do it now. We could do it 35 years ago, but we can't figure out how to do it today. Doesn't really make sense, does it? And we have 20 interceptors, and the Russians have several thousand MIRV intercontinental ballistic missiles. The Chinese, the Koreans are working on them. And, of course, we know that other countries, Iran is working on it, Pakistan has them. And these are countries that hate America. In fact, in Pakistan, we're one heartbeat away from the radical Islamic people taking over that country. And if Musharraf, the president there, I should say the dictator who we're supporting, were to be assassinated, and these nearly escaped assassination a number of times, why all of those nuclear-tipped missiles of Pakistan would fall into the hands of people who hate America and have embraced this radical form of Islam. So, you know, where do we stand today? Well, at this meeting, one of the women put up her hand during the discussion period, and she said, "I am a lecturer for FEMA. I work for the Federal Emergency Management Administration." Somebody asked what arrangements the federal government has to protect the American people in case of a catastrophic attack, and I'll tell you, there is none. You don't want a big daddy, a granny, a government looking after you, do you? This is something that has to be arranged at the local level, at the community level. We have no program to protect you. And, you know, as I contemplated what they were talking about, and they were talking about how we needed various forms of radio communication to maybe even walkie-talkies or vehicles of finding out what's going on in the world. How would you communicate with others? How would you get water and food? And nobody had any suggestions. In fact, as I left there after sitting all day long to go to the next meeting, which was the Doctors for Disaster Preparedness the following day, it was so apparent, so tragically apparent, that America is being set up for the greatest catastrophe of all time. Because you see, behind everything going on, there are spiritual forces. And that's why I've asked Bob Griswold, Ready Reserve Resources, I think that's the title of his company, to come on. Bob is one of our supporters, but I think his message is important. You have an obligation to look after yourself, to look after your family, and you can't help others unless you can help yourself first. Bob, thank you so much for being with us. Bob?
Yes, you there?
Okay, I'm sure. Here, go ahead.
Okay, yes. Yeah, I was just listening to you speak, and, you know, it is amazing that, you know, people in America, and I think in some ways we get the government we really want. You know, Americans, we are so self-oriented and instantaneously gratified-oriented. We want our instant gratification. You know, the money that the government spends, we want it on programs that benefit us right now. The thought of putting, you know, building a program to where that we possibly might need someday in the future to protect us from something that's almost unimaginable. Really, Americans don't want that, because we'd rather spend the money now. You know, Americans, even though we make some of the largest, have some of the largest paychecks in the world, we save some of the least amount of money from any other people that they're on our income levels. So, you know, really, in America, we've kind of got what we deserve, and that is really not much in the way of preparation. You know, shortly after the anthrax attack in our country, you know, several years ago, I watched an expert, and this absolutely floored me, Doctor. I watched an expert that was on Fox News, and they were talking about the possibility of using anthrax in a subway, and what would people do if they used anthrax or poison gas, I think it was, poison gas. And the expert said, what people do? And he goes, well, the best thing for them to do is to hold their breath until somebody comes along, an emergency worker can come along and help them. And I just could not believe I heard somebody say that who was an expert.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's so much of what's going on is just organized madness. I mean, has there ever been a country anywhere in the world that specifically chose not to defend itself or its people against an enemy that is determined to destroy us?
Well, not only are we not determined not to defend ourselves, we're actually inviting the very people who would defeat us and destroy us into our country that they can do it more effectively. We are inviting the Trojan horse into our country, knowing that the Trojan horse is the Trojan horse. And that's the insane part about our policy.
You know, Bob, just to sort of along with that, you know, most Americans know that Bill Clinton allowed some of the most sensitive technology we had to be given to communist China. It was the technology that would allow them to have accuracy as far as their intercontinental ballistic missiles. I mean, they could hardly get them off the ground, much less hit anything with them, until Bill Clinton transferred or allowed Loral Corporation to transfer our most sensitive military secrets to communist China in violation of all of our laws. But, you know, most people think, well, he did this, because he got a couple of $100,000 in campaign contributions. And I think that is just so ridiculous to honestly believe that. People totally ignore the spiritual implications of everything going on today. Men are very often motivated by the spiritual forces that control them. And certainly Bill Clinton, I think, is an example of a man who's been controlled during most of his adult life by dark and sinister spiritual forces. And I believe we're being set up to bring God's judgment on this country. And I believe God or Satan can use Bill Clinton to facilitate terrible things happening. And by allowing the Chinese communists, who then transferred the technology to the North Koreans, who transferred the technology to Iran and Pakistan and Libya and Syria, by allowing that to happen, why we are setting America up for, I think, terrible destruction, I think, for God's judgment. So if you look at it from a spiritual point of view, it makes sense. If you look at it from a logical point of view, Bill Clinton, he got $10 million for his writing a book. It wasn't a very good book. He probably didn't even write it. Hillary got $8 million. That's $18 million. That's not for the books they wrote, but for services done for the Brotherhood of Darkness, or what is what I call the people behind the scenes. So we're being set up for, I believe, terrible times, don't you?
Well, in the final analysis of it, it doesn't matter what you and I believe, and that's not to insult what we think, but it's really what God's Word says to us. So we have a choice to, you know, we can be the person who warns, but we're only warning and telling people what God has warned himself. That if people just look what God has said in His Word, we'd know that nations that do what we do, as far as our rebellion, our complete ignoring of God's law, that judgment comes. People are judged in the afterlife, but nations can't be judged in the afterlife. Nations are judged in the present, because nations obviously don't die and stand before their Maker. People do. So our nation, as we have made these awful decisions to reject God in almost every area of our public and personal life, we can only expect that He will then bring upon us what He has brought upon every other nation that has ever existed, what we see even going on in our nation today. All the signs that God is bringing judgment on our nation are there. We only have to open our Bible and read, like in Deuteronomy, what God does to nations that rebel and forsake His law. We see it happening. And the ultimate consequence of our thing will be our destruction. And yet, at the same time that we know that is going to happen, just as Jesus said in Matthew, that, you know, when you see these things coming about, He goes, hey, pay attention, because I'm going to give you an out. There's a way for those who are spiritually discerning to get an out. I'm going to warn you. And if you listen to the warning and you heed the warning and you act upon the warning, there's a way to save your life. And I think God, being the benevolent creator that He is, always will warn those who have ears to hear and whose lives are pleasing to Him that judgment is coming and you need to prepare. You need to escape. The Bible does talk about escaping. It does talk about fleeing. it does talk about preparation and to be conscious of the events that are happening around us as indicators, as a barometer to the fact that God is bringing judgment. It never happens right away. There's always a building up to it, and then one final thing happens that just pushes people over the edge or pushes a nation over the edge, and when that point is reached, then you're at a point where you'll see the things that every other nation has experienced. You know, we can't even imagine famine in our own country. We can't imagine the reintroduction of many diseases.
Thank you. 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 Thank you.